Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
They can't hear us out there, can they?
No, not at all.
Good.
Perfect.
Very soundproof. I don't know.
Jack, were you ready for that? Yeah, I was ready for that.
Okay. I wasn't.
That was good. Well, welcome to Sun Cinema Podcast. This is a weekly radio show that examines the highs and lows of the medium of film through the filtered lens of Washington, D.C.'s only privately owned art house cinema. I am your host, Jason Cauley, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, as always, and the proprietors of Sun Cinema, Dave Cabrera. Dave.
What's up, Jason?
Hello, hello. And Ryan Mitchell.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
Today's our anime episode.
Anime.
We're going to school everyone out there
on anime.
Good. Can I be one of those that is schooled?
I think we're going to get schooled,
yeah,
right?
That's the goal? I'm hoping. This month at Suns, we're showing a lot of... it's all animation.
It's completely animated.
Yeah.
We are animated... When you walk in, it's a cartoon.
The cartoon version of yourself. Right.
So this is one of the months that we're not super familiar with these movies.
That is very accurate.
Give us a rundown. What are we showing? What do we show? How'd last week go?
How did we get here and where are we going?
Where are we going?
Yeah. So we started out the month. Every Tuesday we're doing some nights of animation, mostly Eastern European. Tuesday night we did a Russian night. It was great. There was a lot of Russian people there, which was cool.
Tonight's Yugoslavia, right?
Tonight is Yugoslavia. It was a full house.
Oh, there he is.
All right. Yeah, it was a full house and everyone was speaking Russian. It was cool. Wednesday night we did a night of early Jim Henson animated works.
Yeah, that was real fun.
That was fun.
Yeah, he had a pretty out there sense of humor.
The count things got a little...
Yeah, he's super into repetition.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously learning for children. So everything's super repetitive.
You know, for the kids.
Yeah. I did think the thing where he was just talking about how he makes, you know, he's like teaching people how to make puppets was pretty cool. You see just like this dork who's like, oh, take a styrofoam cup and that's a puppet, you know, and then it's like years later he's, you know, got an empire or whatever.
Yeah.
And so
rivals.
That worked. That worked out.
Oh, Harvey just walked in. Guys,
Harvey.
This is Harvey.
Harvey.
He knows anime.
Nice to meet you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not really worthy of any, you know, like cheering and applause. It's like a shameful thing in my life or whatever.
Well, we're going to drill you on it.
Okay,
soon.
Good.
Well, in just a bit, we're going to recap last week and then this coming week and then we're going to dive into the tunes.
Yeah, cool. Sorry I'm late, by the way. I wandered into the Christian Science like place right down the way by mistake.
That gets confused.
And those guys make some good points, though, about like, not going to the doctor.
Well, speaking of Jim Henson.
And since I don't have health insurance right now, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe this is for me.
Right.
You know, like, that's cool. Anyway.
All right. What
Thursday we did Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah. Are you a fan of this or nah? Is it on your radar, Harvey?
I mean, it's like something that a lot of my friends are fans of, but because so many of my friends liked it, I was like, oh, wait, no, I can't
not enough room.
Be into a thing that, you know, people seem to like and get a lot out of and think is cool.
Yeah. I found the emo singing that happens often very
emo?
Annoying. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like a dark but not as dark Rick and Morty, not as...
And somehow kind of positive.
Thing,
yeah. Maybe a little bit more positive.
Yeah.
Which is why I didn't like it.
Well, I mean, like, Rick and Morty sort of has this, like, I mean, sorry if y'all are fans of it, but there's, like, a sort of, like, pseudo-lectual, like, sort of, like,
totally.
part to it that just really rubs me the wrong way. Like oh, Jesus, what's that part where, what's, like, the mom, she's, talking to Rick and, you know, she's like, oh my God, I'm worried that I'm like you. And he said, yeah, it's because you're smart. and, you know, people who are smart just don't get along with the rest of the world, and it ruins your life or whatever. And I,
like, that's a theme.
And I felt a need to kick my box fan across the room or whatever. This is so bad. Sorry for.
Well, actually, I'm done. I'm done with it.
Yeah. Friday we showed Akira, which is a
classic. Right?
Yeah, that movie is so dope.
Yeah, I mean,
it's fucked up.
But yeah, that one's actually pretty cool.
That's like one of the ones that when you ask, it's like, oh yeah, what anime thing should I watch for the first time? That's the one that everyone throws out is okay. Like, oh yeah, you like have to check this out. But I wonder if like people see that and they're like, wait, oh my, what on earth is this?
What is anime?
What does the rest of anime look like?
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool. It was kind of Godard. It was like Godard cyberpunk. It's very like showing protest movements and showing. Like kind of clashes of police force and youth ideas, all in this kind of cool cyberpunk world.
Yeah,
I mean, and like most anime, it's like also about like being deeply in love with your boys. You know, there's like a huge aspect of that to
your biker gang.
For me, at least, yeah. You know, they're like friends that like one of three women in the film just gets like. The crap beat out of her.
But they're all worried about the guy.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good one, Jason. I watched it because I've heard it was so.
Yeah, this is an area of just limited exposure in my life for some reason, anime. Pretty much any other oddball thing in film, I've got some point of reference. Sure. I've got some point of, you know, connection. And anime, other than some of the Studio Ghibli stuff I've seen, is really out there to me. I just don't know where to start. Don't know, you know, what path to dive down.
Akira seemed pretty up your alley from what I know about your taste.
Yeah.
Because it kind of has a cool noir and
totally
a much more it takes as a serious movie.
Yeah.
And then Saturday.
Also taken as a serious movie.
Yeah, also taken as a serious movie.
Fantastic Planet. Have you seen Fantastic Planet?
I've seen Fantastic Planet.
Cool. Yeah. Well, you know.
It's so good.
It's just good. Yeah. It's amazing. I actually really enjoyed Uproar in Heaven Sunday night. That was great. I would have been here for the party thing, but I...
Well, while we were enjoying the rooftop of the line on Sunday, someone did bring up how good Uproar in Heaven is.
Yeah, visually it's cool, and just like the whole thing is like this monkey who's just fucking with all these other, you know, gods or whatever. And there's a really cool fight scene where both characters just like kept morphing into different animals to like try to one up each other as a different animal.
Okay, so kind of animorphs.
There were some drugs.
Okay.
Well, an elixir. The monkey got drunk. Yeah, I recommend it.
As they do.
Sounds like my weekend.
Yeah.
Nice.
This upcoming week, right? Is that what we're doing? Sure. Tonight we're doing a night of Yugoslavian animation, just animated shorts. Tomorrow night we're floating some late night cocktails to let people know that we're open as a bar at night. We've got some fun, some movie themed ones. And,
well, Jack
you know.
Was just asking, when do we close at Sun Cinema?
You know, it depends on the night.
Yeah.
But
in general,
late, you know?
What's the bar thing?
Yeah. Midnight, you know, and then on the weekends we'll stay up until the end, till legally possible.
I don't think I've been out to y'all's spot yet, which is like a huge mark of shame on, you know, my part. But
it's all good.
Yeah.
I mean, you've hung out on the patio.
Yeah, that's half of it.
Seems dope.
That's kind of the coolest part.
Yeah. Well, no, I used to work at like a art house place down in Columbia, South Carolina, when I lived there, and they like gave me a chance. To like start to like pick out some of the films.
Cool.
But I picked out the documentary about people who LARP, a thing called Darkon, and a total of three people came to like the like five screenings of it we had, and they never let me pick
and
out movies
done.
Again, never or whatever. But,
well, maybe one day. So we'll show that. At
Yeah. No, they said, yeah, you can just spool the film through the machine and scoop popcorn. I don't think you have what it takes to be a programmer.
What was the movie you showed?
It's called Darkon. It was a documentary somewhere in the late 2000s, and it's about these people, I think in like either Maryland or
New
Jersey,
like
who do do like live action role playing, and it's
more like dork on him, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's like really depressing because like every part of their lives is like so sad, but they get to be like the elf king of Westeros,
that does help.
Local like rec center field or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's what they would do this on weekends. Where I'm from, I remember like seeing at the park just a good 30 kids like
broken into teams with
styrofoam swords, but pretty well made styrofoam swords.
Oh yeah,
there's like quite a community.
No, I mean, you get to beat the crap out of your friends. there's like camping out. You know, there's like, I don't know. It seems like a good, like, I mean, it seems like you're better off doing that than like retreating into like, well, I have my one online place that I post on for 18 hours a day, which is like kind of what I did.
I feel attacked.
As like opposed to having like friends or whatever. But,
what's the rest of the week?
Yeah, so Thursday.
We're going to take this and move it into anime because there's something here. We're almost there.
So Thursday we're doing episodes of Cowboy Bebop. And already on our Facebook event page, we've been...
there's 8,000 fans. Oh!
There's a debate about...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's time to blow this thing. Cool.
Harvey, maybe you can weigh in on this debate.
Yeah, so... In general, the idea is that you always go with subbed over dubbed, but apparently Cowboy Bebop is unique in that people really, really like the dubbed version, and the creator has even said he likes
the dubs are really version. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, like, people have all sorts of things on, like, you know, subs v dubs, but I like, you know, because I have, like, pretty bad hearing loss, I have to watch everything with subtitles to, begin with, so I might not be the best person to weigh in on that. But I mean, but I think with like Cowboy Bebop and the Miyazaki films, the dubs are like
pretty
uniquely
good.
Very, very good, you know, and it's like worth, you know, watching both at least.
Uh-huh.
But no, yeah, I would go with the dubs for that one, to be honest.
Cool. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. It's like very tight, very cool.
Yeah.
I forget who the voice actor they picked out for Spike was, but he was just...
Like, yeah, that's what everyone was talking about. Yeah. I forget his name. Moving on.
Yeah. Well,
that guy.
Very good. Yeah.
You all have laptops, I mean. So is this a no fact-checking zone?
I'm gonna fact-check right now.
Are you showing Cowboy Bebop the movie or...
Episodes of the show.
Okay.
Show. Yeah.
Which ones are you going to show?
Just the best ones.
Steve Bloom. All right, there you go.
Friday night.
See, that's why we don't Google. It's just going to be Steve Bloom.
Friday night, we're showing Grave of the Fireflies, which is a fun...
I've actually seen this one. It's one of the two movies this month I've seen.
Tell us about
American Tale.
Yes, depressing. It's a bummer. Oh, and American Tale. Actually, three. I guess that.
I've seen like five, I think.
And Fantastic Planet. Yeah. I mean, is it already sold out?
Feherlofia also. Grave of the Fireflies is, I don't know, I haven't looked, but it's probably close.
And then what, Saturday?
Saturday is our two-year anniversary party.
Woo-hoo. Oh, shit.
Technically, we're two today, I think.
We're 2 years old, guys.
We're 2 years old. Look at that. The terrible twos.
We're just going to get so much worse the next year.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. We'll just be open as a bar and we'll put weird things on screen. And yeah.
And we have some secrets that we'll
unveil,
preview a bit.
Totally.
One of which is a new sign. We put up a new sign last week.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
We sure did.
If you're not in the neighborhood, did you see it, Harvey? Did you see the sign? No,
I just walked by and I saw, you know, my... guy out there, and I was like, oh shit, it's my boy or whatever,
you know, and then you get sucked onto being on a podcast today.
And here we are.
Fatefully, you saw us in front of Suns. Well, David and I were outside yesterday enjoying the nice weather and looking at our awesome sign that we just put up above our awning. Nice. It's even better than this.
Sorry.
No, that's good.
We've made a great cinema sign, and last week Jason and I hung out of a window holding it on a rope while we mounted it.
95 degrees.
And dude, it was really hot, yeah.
Yeah. So we accomplished a feat.
And sexy, also. Like,
and we'll be really
good.
We'll be showing this very hot sign on the 12th for our 2-year party.
Unveiling.
Yeah, so we'll be speak. Unveiling it.
I can't believe we just talked about that for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a good sign.
It's a good, yeah.
Are we
that's Sunday we're showing this movie called Vampires or Vampiros en la Habana. It's a Cuban animated movie about bureaucracy, etc.
And vampires.
Cool. And vampires.
I love it when you get to exercise the Cuban side of yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you should hear him talk about piñatas.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's get in. Let's go hard anime. Let's go there.
Right. All right, let's do
Harvey,
it,
Harvey, this is why you're here.
Yes.
Give us a... just, like, tell us a bit about anime and then tell us how you got into it. But what is anime?
Anime, I mean, there's not a lot to say. It's just... animated, you know, like shows and films that just happen to come from Japan. So, I mean, it's like definitely a genre in itself and has like a lot of micro, you know, sort of like genres. But I don't know. I feel that like calling it all like the same thing is, you know, just like a way that's like just the way they got people who live like here.
Right. To figure it,
you know,
out. Yeah.
You know, because it would be like saying it's like, oh yeah, there's some stuff from like the USA. You have like Disney and then like SpongeBob,
yeah.
You know, and it's like all the same thing, you know, so we're just going to call it the same. Right, yeah. right. But, no, I mean, it's like a really interesting thing. And I think one of the fun things about it is that, you know, there's a show for pretty much everyone out there.
Uh-huh.
You know, like my spouse, like, could not find a show that she would even be in the same room with because she's like, well, they yell and it's like very misogynistic and like I just can't get into it. But then I found like two, you know, that were like really up her alley. One was called Mushishi, which is like a newer show. I think it's on Hulu now. And it's about this like basically like a shaman, like detective who goes and investigates like so people having issues with like spirits and like remote towns in like feudal Japan and stuff like
All right.
So it is tight. Sorry, that's not a good
explanation
at all of
what's the other
no, I mean just that you can get other people into it. I mean, it has these certain preconceived ideas that we have about it, and it's probably painted with too big of a brush. There's like a lot of nuance in the medium.
Well, I mean, like, based on like you know what people see, they think it's like, oh yeah, that's the one where they have the like giant robots who fight in space.
And which one
like,
is that?
That's a lot of them actually. But, the original one was probably Gundam 0079, which is actually
Gundam 0079. Yeah,
yeah, which is like actually a
totally off
great show or whatever.
I'm sure
that's from the 70s,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Andrew was talking about that the other night.
All right.
Yeah, and I mean, like, actually, for like people who want to get into it, I would almost recommend starting with the stuff from like the 70s and 80s and early 90s.
Why
because,
is that?
Because I think that the visual style of those is like more accessible.
Oh, okay.
It's like less of the like huge eyes and like giant breasts and like people with like cat ears and stuff like that like turn a lot of people off to the
where did that
or whatever.
When did that really take hold? Was that like 90s or
90s? Yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah,
Flux
yeah, yeah.
And the I'm out of my depth. So
same. I mean because there's like so much and is like someone who's like probably watched like I think like 50 shows total. You know, I like still have friends who watch like every show that comes out, and,
right.
And which is like cool because they just don't do anything else or
yeah.
whatever.
What
they
was the entry point for people though? I don't like.
Yeah, what was your entry point?
This is weird, but when I was a kid, I got like really really deep into Sonic the Hedgehog and like Sonic the Hedgehog like fan forums.
Oh yeah,
and stuff like that, and you know, like based on how those communities turned out today, I think my dad made the right call where he was like, hey, it's like very weird, you know, that you're like only into Sonic, you know.
Right.
And like he was like a pretty online guy too, and so I guess he talked to his friends and
on they the
says,
forums
like, right and you know, and says maybe get him into anime instead.
Right.
And so he would rent me like pretty much all of the anime from Blockbuster and Hollywood Video and
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
like that. And then I would like come home from school and I would be like, hey, what should I watch? Dragon Ball Z. It's on, you know, the...
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Got it right here for you, buddy.
That's like pretty classic, right? It has a bunch of really, really robust screams and everything.
Dragon
Ball Z.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, one of the best things you can look up on YouTube are like teenagers doing like Super Saiyan yells.
Oh, really?
It is so cool.
Super Saiyan?
It is so funny. Yeah.
How do you spell that?
Yeah, how do we spell that?
S-U-P-E-R S-A-Y-A-N or S...
Super Saiyan.
Or S-A-I-Y-A-N.
Yeah, S-A-I.
I can't spell or whatever.
So people like,
I can't read.
Try to
only watch anime. Yeah.
Do we have any of those, Jack? Any teenagers giving? Nope.
Just checked. No.
Damn it. Okay. Well.
Think that your little friends can escape me? You're sadly mistaken.
This is the first thing that came up when I googled Super Saiyan.
This time you won't come back.
Oh shit.
What is this? What are we seeing here? This says Goku goes Super Saiyan for the first time.
Well, we'll find out.
Frieza, stop this! Minutes.
I'm kind of bummed that Jack's the only one getting to watch this right now.
It sounds great, though.
It does. Is this Yu-Gi-Oh? Or
Dragon Ball Z.
You know, that's another thing about anime. This sound design's awesome.
Yeah.
It was
sounds like Twin Peaks music or something. Blade Runner.
So what are you, Harvey, what are you, like, what's the last thing you watched animation-wise or anime-wise that, like, blew you away?
Oh, man. The one I watched most recently that blew me away is a show called Legend of the Galactic Heroes, and it was like never on TV. It was a OVA, like a direct to VHS thing, I think, for started in like the late 80s and sort of like dribbled out through a lot of the 90s, but our you know, like the Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Oh yeah.
It's basically a anime version of that space where it just has this like really grand scope, and it's like basically like a huge show about a war between like people who are like basically like space fascists, and then you have like space like Bill Clinton, you know, like
'90s
like you know, like representative democracy on the
liberal democracy
other side. Yeah. And
they're showing what's up.
Well, I mean, it's like such a huge show that it's like sort of tough to like nail it down, but I'll say some things that I like about it a lot. It has a huge cast, but like every character, you know, is like very like memorable in their like way. Like the character design is like very, very good. Most of the plot is either like a spaceship fights with like a lot of like pew 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 stuff,
right?
Or it's like people monologuing over like Wagner music or whatever. But
what's it called again?
It is so cool. It's called Legend of the Galactic Heroes.
This music is like awesome.
It's beautiful music.
Yeah.
Harvey's weeping.
This is like from one of the later ones, but
okay.
Yeah, no, hold on,
dude,
hold on,
you dork.
Hold on. Look up the ending to the end theme for season 3 of LOGH. It is so good.
LOGH. What is
Legend of the Galactic Heroes?
Come on, man.
Sorry.
Well, can you give us a little bit of the shorthand, actually? Because I keep on coming across these terms.
Sorry, I feel so bad that I came on here as like an expert and I'm just ruining your podcast.
I'm going to throw some. No, we like to reserve the ruining of the podcast for ourselves.
Good. That's our job, buddy.
But
is this what you were looking for here?
Yes. Yeah.
I do dig this.
Like, the thing is, if you watch the show, this song will make you cry. Like, because it's like, I don't know, it's like built into the show in like a fun way or whatever.
Sure.
I don't know.
the visual. There's some well-dressed men enjoying wine and
yes,
a picnic here.
That is a lot of the show, actually. one of the big tropes in the show is on the fascist side, when the guys get mad or they like receive bad news, they'll like smash their full wine glass on the ground, just like ugh, and then
that's very
and then you have like
kawaii.
A slow-mo like wine glass shatter or whatever. It's so cool. It's so
like,
cool. Yeah,
I'm thinking like Usual Suspects, just the glass breaking in
right.
slow-mo.
Yeah, it's that, but like every other episode.
Okay, so here's some of the terms. I just looked up anime terminology.
All right, sure.
I know that exists. Maybe you're familiar with some of these. Otaku?
That means different things here as compared to in Japan. Here, it just refers to someone who's like a huge fan of anime, whereas in Japan, the connotation is someone who's like so much of a nerd that it's like ruined their life.
Uh-huh.
You know, and like they just kind of stay inside their apartment and
so is it
watch
different
stuff all day. They don't go to college, you know. Like,
but is it different, or is it just that we have like because that kind of happens here, right, with a lot of us and binging TV?
Yeah, like
now
me, you know. Oh, yeah, yeah,
or,
like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, hopefully I'll get outside now, but that's me all winter too, just binging some Netflix stuff, Stranger Things, et cetera, so I feel like
yeah.
everyone's got a bit of it. But this is like more diehard.
Yeah, but I mean, like you have like friends,
okay.
and like you
I
know
see.
We're
this
like
is
out
someone
here
who's secluding
outside
themselves.
Of your, yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does mean different things.
Yeah, there's like actually a show about that called "Welcome to the NHK," where this guy who's just like, you know, addicted to being a nerd, you know, like gets into like a conspiracy theory that you know about the. Like main like Japanese like their version of like NBC or whatever.
Oh okay. Right.
So yeah. I don't want to spoil
yeah,
too
yeah.
much, but it's like a fun one. Yeah.
What about senpai? Is that pretty used?
Yeah. That's like a way you tell someone that like you respect them and like look up to them and like want to learn from them. You know. So like for instance, like you would be my senpai for like. Getting my hair cut.
But not know? A sensei. That would be different.
No. Yeah, okay. that's like someone who like actually teaches you. Senpai is just like a
someone you hold in regard.
Yeah, no, okay. it'll be like a upperclassman at your
I see.
Notice me, senpai. Notice me.
Yeah, right. That guy kicks ass.
That guy does.
He is so cool. He is so cool.
We did a Night of Satan last year, and I kept on throwing on his weirdo Satanist videos.
He's so cool.
Okay, I'm going to go over some of this article I came across.
Sure.
From October 5th, 2016. That's new enough for us, because I don't know much about this, but... The article is called "Why Anime Films Will Always Be Superior to Live Action." I'm going to go through this, and everyone can chime in.
That sounds so good already.
I kind of disagree with some of it, but it is interesting to hear the take, and I don't fully disagree. I'm open-minded. Okay, so the subline is "Technological Unemployment is Sweeping the Nation, and Hollywood is No Exception," by Lucy Zhang, Duke University. All right. Live action is constrained by reality, not in the sense of having nonfiction-type stories, but in a much more literal sense. They are composed of real people and use physical sets and locations, and although computer-generated effects have grown prominent, they are only embellishments. On the other hand, there is anime, the Japanese animated film medium that is seemingly void of all physical humans, in essence, a completely different realm than our own tangible one, and in many ways... This drastically different universe proves advantageous to real humans and celebrity faces that we encounter on a regular basis in American entertainment.
This is all true so far.
Yeah.
I mean, like, really, like, anime is more real than, like, the real world.
Okay.
Yeah, right. For like...
That's a big statement.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big statement. I don't necessarily agree, but I also haven't dove down. Like, I get it.
I mean, it's, like, not true, but it's, like, a funny enough thing to say that it's, like, fun to buy into it.
Yeah.
You know, just like make folks mad at you.
Or yeah. Whatever, yeah. Well, I mean, I see this in like science fiction. I feel that sometimes mm-hmm. you can hit a specific frame of thought through science fiction by having this really kind of outlandish idea to parallel something that you can really apply to real life. You know, I see how science fiction can tackle a point better than nonfiction could. So I guess I could see that in anime, but...
Sure.
Jason, what do you think? I mean, this sounds like actors suck.
Right.
We could just draw them.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that either. I think it's fun to talk about, but you know, I'll say this: my live action viewing is far greater than my animated viewing.
Yeah.
So I definitely fall into the other camp. But you know, Harvey, where do you fall? I mean, what's the ratio? How much live action stuff do you watch versus animation?
Are you done?
No. Jeez, I mean, the live action stuff I watch right now is mostly like Star Trek shows that I've seen at least 8 times before.
Right.
And telenovelas.
Okay.
So.
which Star Trek?
Deep Space Nine is the best one.
Whoa.
For sure.
Gen, definitely.
No. Hold on. I don't want to derail the show, but that's it. We'll like have a fight about
we'll
this outside.
You are
completely wrong though, or whatever.
We'll do a whole episode on
probably
Deep
racist.
Space.
Actually, like
it's probably racist. Come on, man.
Okay, the next paragraph. Live actors can rarely, if at all, get away with the same exaggerated emotional expressions that anime characters can. Imagine seeing a well-known celebrity crying out in utter despair, kneeling on the ground as though their legs were debilitated from the devastating thought of whatever tragedy just occurred, clutching their heads and sobbing hysterically.
Hold on, is like this real or is this someone trying to make a joke?
No, I think she's sincere.
She's coming at it sincerely.
Yeah, I think pretty sincere.
Well, I mean, because that's such a absurd thing to say or...
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, because, like, the emotional... I mean, like...
Yeah, because Tilda Swinton can do anything.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, I don't think there's, like, a strong difference in between, like, the potential, I guess, emotional resonance of an animated film versus, like, a real one. You know, like, one of the films I've cried at the most is Mike Lee's Life is Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean...
There you
and,
go. Now we're talking.
You know, and, like...
Now we're back in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Which is like one of the best
Secrets
films
and Lies
I've seen in my life. Yeah.
Right there with it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and, you know, like just like the like actors he has, you know, just like act like, I mean, they act in such a realistic way that, you know, like you like really feel it's like, oh, this is exactly about how I'm about like how like my life sucks too.
Right.
Yeah. And it like.
Yeah. The relatableness
resonates
is
on,
just.
A very
yeah.
Different level. Whereas that. Animation, I think, will always be like more fantastical, and that doesn't like shut it off.
Sure,
you know, from like tapping those same parts of your brain,
right?
But it has to do it in a different way.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and I'm wondering if it's kind of saying here that, you know, how it's saying like imagine watching this actor do something that's kind of unrealistic and exaggerated. But I think if a movie sets the tone where that's accepted, or
yeah,
that's,
you're living in that movie's universe. So
yeah.
As long as you buy into that and it's holding true to those rules.
Yeah, like every Werner Herzog film.
Yeah,
you know, does like the same thing or whatever. Like his thing with Nick Cage, the Bad Lieutenant.
Port of Call, New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, that's like they're like basically not real people in that
movie.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, so.
Yeah, so we can do it too. I guess you're willing to accept it a little easier if it's animated because you're already accepting some amount of like a fantastic reality.
Mm-hmm.
So like
I mean every David Lynch film you go down, you know, I mean you're kind of entering into this world, and as long as you're accepting the parameters of that world, you can go anywhere he wants to take you as long as it's well done, right? I mean it's the Mike Lee argument, you know. This is pretty basic. Conversational life type people, but because it's so well done, because the characters are so well developed, because it's so well written, because it's so well performed, mm-hmm. I'm buying in all the way.
Right. You know?
Well, Lucy doesn't buy it. Most film watchers, regardless of how optimistic or jaded of the world they might be, would find the scene ludicrous, because it would be. Most human beings don't act out in public, and when they do, they gain the attention of many watchful, judging eyes.
This is poorly written.
Live-action films are meant to mimic reality. We're ripping apart Lucy saying right now. She and
what?
Rob Ford, or whatever, are getting
doing
punished
her best
by
at
us.
Zoke.
What website is this on? Medium.com.
It's on studybreaks.com.
Tumblr,
I mean, I'm
Twitter. Like.
Well, they're what?
They're listening to the show.
People
live
are having a great time.
They're
man,
enjoying
the people. So, okay, we're piping this into the lobby right now. They're just flipping out, banging on the windows.
Don't judge people for cheering at
They're
you.
Excited. We're just here. Live action films are meant to mimic reality enough so that the story is credible. To see an actor attempt to exaggerate the expressions for a film would similarly ruin the scene's mood. The simple fact is humans are confined to expressions that their faces can make. And this is one part where I'll kind of say you are limited to what your face can make. And they go on to mention the keyframe. You can, on a dime, change the motion really quick. Which, again,
yeah,
a good actor can.
I disagree with that, too, though, because I feel like that's, again, I'm thinking about something like Eraserhead, makeup, all these things exaggerate everything. And so you aren't limited to that in live action. Wrong, Lucy.
Yeah, well,
but there are parts of Eraserhead that are animated, right?
Yeah.
More or less? Yeah.
Yeah, there are. But I mean, even just makeup and things like that can totally exaggerate expression and do all of these things that are needed to convey some sort of emotional resonance.
See, this is why the best movie of all time is Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
It is so good,
right? Because it's like, why not get you a man who can do both?
There you go.
You know,
get you a Roger who can do both, play patty cake, and fight redlining, or whatever else happens. Okay, let's do one more segment we kind of want to do with you, Harvey, since you're here. Are we allowed to talk that you're a private eye? Kind of, but you're.
Oh yeah, right? sure. Why not?
Well, we were curious. Just obviously, the lives portrayed of private eyes is huge across the spectrum of cinema, and most of it probably doesn't parallel real life and what you're dealing with on a stakeout or other kind of situation. But we were just curious if there were maybe a few films that you like that have the private detective element in it.
What do people think it is? What do your parents think it is? And what is it really?
I mean, people think it's Chinatown.
Okay.
And my parents think it's Chinatown. But it's really more Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I do PI stuff, and then I do a lot of process service too.
Right. Okay.
And that's just, people are like just cartoonishly mad at me.
Sure.
All the time, like flipping out, chasing me out of their apartment buildings.
Right.
And then, like, I mean, probably like the best like vision of like what a stakeout is like I've seen on film is when like the cops do it in The Wire, and they just like eat Chinese food and like fall asleep or whatever. Because like when I show out, when I show up to someone's house to like stake them out, I have to get there at like 5 o'clock in the morning and stay there till about 10, you know, or like a time they would like reasonably like come in or out of their house. And it's mostly like I just listen to podcasts, try really hard to not fall asleep.
Yeah.
Are you going to listen to this podcast the next time that you...
No.
Probably not.
I don't do podcasts. I mean, it's like nice to be on this one. I mean, this is what a Choppa Trap House, right?
Yeah,
you know, or is this a Fresh Air with
Terry Gross?
Terry Gross, yeah. I mean, that's like what I'm on right now, and that's great. But so it's like mostly that, and then like finding weird places to pee where I won't get caught.
Right.
Like that's
Gatorade bottles and whatnot.
That is actually a thing that like my boss showed me how to do when we were out in the field and I was being trained. He's like, oh yeah, here's how you find a place to pee. And I was like, when will I need this skill?
Every day.
And then like day three, it's like, oh yeah, I can't pee or whatever.
Here's how you shave a fingerprint. Here's how you melt a body. And here's how you pee in a canister.
Yeah, right. No, one of the best tricks I have that I like to do a lot is if like you can't tell when someone comes in or out of their house, you just take like a little piece of like napkin or like paper. And then you stick that in their door on the side opposite of the handle.
Right.
So then when it like falls out, they won't see it fall out. But you can go back and check and be like, well, I was here at 4 and then I came back at 7 and you know, it's gone. So you know, they like left during this time, and then you can put together a nice little record of someone's life.
Dashiell Hammett talks about this exact move in some of his books.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, another good trick is, if you want to see when they use a car, take a coin and like place it. I mean, just like make a rule. Be like, I always place the coin on like the back left wheel, mm-hmm. just like on the top, and then you can go back and like check if the coin is still there, and like see if they're left or not or whatever. Or I mean, if like you kind of want to bend the rules, you can just place a GPS, you know, thing on their car. Yeah,
blue force tracker.
Yeah,
are
yeah,
you
yeah.
deep state?
I should be really, but you know, they don't have me yet or whatever.
You're the one.
I would love the federal health insurance though. That would be really tight.
So we'll talk to some people, see if we can get you hired in for some deep state recon.
I got offered a job to infiltrate like a far left group in DC, and I'm already in a far left group in DC.
Are there any movies?
Is it the same group?
It wasn't the same group, but that would have been very funny. But it was like a different one, and I was like, you know, I don't actually think I can do that.
Do you think like burn after really reading mad? Is actually pretty similar to how it's like everything's just everyone's keeping tabs on everyone, but no one really has any idea what's actually going on?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like how the CIA actually works or whatever, where it's just like clown shoes shit all the time. You know.
Cool. Any more? What do we got? Any more anime questions? Any more private eye questions?
This is why I'm on the podcast.
So. Yeah. Anyone? What do we got? Any more Roger Rabbit questions?
Yeah, exactly.
I served Tucker Carlson once.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah, which was cool. I served him a complaint, and his first question was, did you go to college? And I said, yes. And he said, I mean, why are you doing this job? And I was like, well, the economy is very bad. I've failed out of every profession I've tried. And this is pretty
You've watched
fun.
All the anime.
Right. Sorry. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
To provide nothing of value to your podcast.
No, this is great.
You get our...
No, knowledge.
You understand us.
No.
This is what we bring to cinema. Thanks, guys. Yeah. We're Sun Cinema. This is Jessica Rabbit playing us out. Play it out! Woo! Play it out! Fuck it! Years ago,
you wouldn't be. Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.